2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Staff draft number two review. What we're going to do today is we are going to go team by team and review each person's draft, tell you their best pick, their worst pick, and their handicap, their chances of making the playoffs. I am Season Long Says, along with our fearless leader, The Geek. Say hey, Geek.
What's up, everyone? Excited to break down this draft. You'll see what the rest of DFS Army, I guess, staff and friends of staff have done here. We've done a lot of breakdowns and season-long rankings and everything, so you get to see it all come into action here. And a lot of that, with a lot of people who are probably using our rankings to do their draft. So
yeah, and before we start, for those of you viewing this on the stream, I mean, I can't help but notice the new beautiful swag you're wearing there. The ninja headband, is that what it is?
Hell yeah, the latest piece of DFS Army swag.
I can't think of a more useless piece of equipment that to order, but I'm only kidding.
Wait, you saying you don't hunt or play tennis or ride a motorcycle?
I mean, no, that's so true. That's true. You know, and I referee high school basketball, and a lot of the kids wear those headbands, like the ninja style headbands, and they just made them so you can't wear them anymore, but maybe a referee could wear one.
I think, listen, man, this is athletics and we're talking sports, man. You know, that sweat dripping in my eyes. Yeah, I get into these podcasts.
You know? All right. I admire it. You know, I dressed up myself today, wore my formal wear, my tuxedo shirt. All right. This is about as dressed up as I'm getting. All right. But let's hop right into it. What we're going to do is, we'll post the link for the actual draft, along so you can follow along. I'm just going to put it up on the screen quickly so everyone can see it. And we're going to go team by team and break it down. And if you can't see that on the screen, also just look in the link, and we posted the link for it. And we are going to go team by team, break it down. Okay, we start with Dave Horn. Now, I just want to give Dave a little bit of credit before we even start. Being a commissioner of a league is not easy. And then especially when you don't personally know everyone in the league and everyone's got an opinion. So major props for him for pulling this off seamlessly. Lot of credit. Do you agree that Dave has been a really good commissioner so far?
Yep, he's all over it. Tough to be the commissioner. It's a thankless job.
Yeah. Now his team. I have a feeling that you may not be such a big a fan as others, but why don't we go back and forth? We'll go grade for grade, and just tell me really quick. What stands out as the best pick or best couple picks that Dave made? What do you like about his team?
I really liked with Dave and the way he started off his draft. Listen, I love the balls of taking Christian McCaffrey over Saquon Barkley first overall. You can't fault that. You know what? You gotta go with your gut with situations like that. I think I just love that kind of balls because a lot of people don't have the sack to go against like number one consensus in a spot like that. So I love that. Another spot I really liked in his draft is I like that he got the elite tight end in round three, Zach Ertz. I was kind of hoping that Ertz would actually fall. I would have taken Kittle ahead of Ertz, personally.
Well, you know what? This is a tight end premium. That should be noted to anyone listening to this review, is that tight ends in this league don't just get a point for reception, known as PPR. They get a point and a half. So if in this format, Zach Ertz is probably even close to the number one overall tight end because he gets so many catches, and those catches are worth 50% more, whereas Kittle is more of a touchdown yards guy.
A very fair point. And Ertz is coming off 110 receptions last year. That is, TE premium gold. That is elite wide receiver total reception numbers. That is almost Juju Smith-Schuster level volume. So, I could see the argument for taking Ertz ahead of Kittle in a TE premium, although, you know.
And that's what happened. That's what happened in this draft. Ertz went two picks before Kittle.
Looking at Davis' team overall, I mean, he's got three or four quality running backs here. You have a nice anchor wide receiver in Adam Thielen. I don't know if I take Adam Thielen in that spot either, to be quite honest, if it's me. But, you know, your other choices were Diggs or Amari Cooper at that point, and where I might personally have Diggs rated just a smidge ahead of Adam Thielen, it's so thin again that I can't really rip it. If you ask me, worst pick, I don't have one. I think his pick was solid overall. I like the depth here. The quarterback needs a little bit of help, but there's plenty of help available even on waivers right now. And so overall, I'm going to give him an A minus.
Oh, so you're going to give him a letter grade. Okay, what I was going to do, because, you know, grade, you know, I'm actually a school teacher, and I give out grades. And grading is a little subjective sometimes, especially since we don't have the actual answers for the test.
Wait, hold up. Do they actually grade kids today? Or I thought it was a whole, like, you know, isn't it all sunshines and rainbows in school nowadays?
Yeah, well, you can't give, you know, not to pivot too much, but you can't give an F anymore, so a C is an F. Because if you give an F, there's just so much paperwork, so you're just better off giving the kid a C and moving him on. I mean, it's sad, but true, you know?
Push him through. Can't read. Push him through. Okay.
So, anyway, I was going to ask you more in terms like this. What are the percentage chance that he will make the playoffs? Be one of the top six teams. Obviously, you like his team. You gave it
I do. I like this team. I'm going to give him about a 75% chance of making the playoffs here.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, our commissioner, Davey Horn, he is in the playoffs, according to you, 75% chance. For me, I'll just do it quick. I love the Zach Ertz pick there. I was going to take him if he came back around. I was thinking about it in round two myself. Duke Johnson, I'm on the Duke Johnson train. I think that if he gets just even 150 carries and keeps his usual reception totals around 55 to 70, he's going to be in a pretty good, pretty damn good RB2. And those were my favorite picks. My least favorite pick was Drew Brees. Now, he got him a great value in the 10th round. I'm just not a big Drew Brees fan, but you can't complain about the value there. The Saints are a run first team now, but he'll have his games. Might be a little frustrating to own. But I like his team. He's got some good depth. And I would say his chances are, I'm a little lower than you on him. I'm going to say about a 68.5% chance to make the playoffs, which is still great. Still great. All right.
I like it.
Moving on. All right. So we go to Chris N., 1995. Now, I think during the draft, everyone saw what Chris was building there. Chris, you know, just at first glance, and we'll get into it, he did a really strong job. Now, we should also say that the format for this draft is a 2-2-2 format, meaning you start two running backs, two receivers, and two flex. Excuse me. One tight end, one QB, kicker, defense. So you can start up to four running backs. And that is, Chris really took advantage of the format, and it's still full PPR. What say you about Chris's draft? Break it down a little bit for me. Tell me what you like that he did. Tell me what you think he could have done maybe a little bit different, or if anything. And then, of course, handicap his chances of making the playoffs.
I mean, I hate to not rip on people too hard in one of these. I do like ripping on people. I do. But it's tough to rip on this draft here. There are some negative things, there is one miss, I think, that happened here. But all in all, I mean, Barkley and Fournette, first two picks, Chris Carson, three. I mean, I love all three of those running backs. So great start, great base for your team right there. Tyler Boyd, we're all pretty high on him as well. Would I have taken maybe, I'm trying to see which direction this was going. Okay, so Kupp and Woods, all those guys were off the board. I'm trying to see if there were any wide receivers, maybe a Calvin Ridley I like a little bit more. I'm not going to worry too much about that. Damian Williams in round four is fine for me as well. Like, where Damian Williams went, I don't have any issue with it. I think he fell. I think it shows that DFS Army staff was, like, well-versed in what to do. I would have rather had maybe... No, I like that pick there, too. The only negative I see here is he waited a little bit long on tight end, and probably going to rely in a TE premium on Greg Olsen and Greg Olsen's health. I was actually going to grab Greg Olsen in that round, but
you know, there was already some early news that Greg Olsen is already having some problems. I didn't, you know, I'll look it up while you're still talking about it. But what I read, either that or I dreamt it, one of the two. I can't tell what's reality anymore and what's in my dreams. I mean, we do this so much. So give me best pick. Cut right to it.
Best pick for me. I mean, you have to love Leonard Fournette in the second round. I think Fournette has this upside. I think he has RB top five upside if he could stay healthy this season. There's no backup in place on the Jaguars. There's no TJ Yeldon waiting in the wings to take the passing game work. So I think Fournette is going to be a volume monster this year if he could stay healthy.
All right, love so that pick. You like Fournette in the second. I actually almost took him there. I passed on him for Joe Mixon. I think Fournette's probably in the better situation, but I just, you know me, I love Mixon's talent. I think he's got Le'Veon Bell upside if Cincinnati can ever get that line together. But so you like Fournette. Which pick do you think Chris went a little early? You mentioned Damian Williams before. Is that
No, I can't complain on Damian Williams here. I like where he was taking all of these players. I have no complaints. No complaints. I can't even find a spot here where I think
perfect
he meant
draft, that. You're saying.
Maybe he used my list or something. I don't know, because shit, this looks perfect to me.
All right, so
what do you say? I'm giving him a 75 to 70. I'm going to actually go 80% chance of making the playoffs here, which is a lot of high chances. I mean, we need to get through this whole thing. I hope I give myself any kind of chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's as close to a lock in the NFL as you get. Now, I think that Chris did a real nice job. The draft kind of unfolded for him nicely, and not only did he get the four strong running backs in the spots where they were great values, his two wide receivers that he's going to be forced to play, Tyler Boyd and Allen Robinson, are two of my favorite on the board. So he did well all the way through. Like you said, everyone's going to be weak somewhere. He's going to definitely have some question marks at tight end. But at the point that he picked, there wasn't much left on the board as it was. So, yeah, he did a real nice job. If I'm forced to pick something I love also, I love Marvin Jones that late. I think he's going to outproduce Kenny Galladay, or at least has a good shot to do it. And if I had to pick a pick, I don't know. Like you said, there's no real sore spots here. I almost took Fournette, as I told you before. So
very tough to critique this one.
Right, right. I would like say the grab. I would just say that the Greg Olsen pick I don't love. I would have rather gambled on a TJ Hockenson, but. And then came back with a safe play like Kyle Rudolph, but that's nitpicking. I'm going to agree with you that.
Will you one area? Okay, one spot, and I'll throw you a would you rather here. He took Chris Carson over George Kittle in round three. Now we love Chris Carson. We love Chris Carson this year, and I think Chris Carson is going to do great. But does the team look better overall with Kittle in there, and then maybe some other, like a Marlon Mack in the following round, no Tyler Boyd, and a change. It's tough to.
Yeah. I mean, it's always easy to sort of unpack it after, but overall, nice job, Chris. You did really good. Very impressive draft. I'll give you a lot of props on that one. I'll agree with you, Geek, and say it was about a 80% chance to make the playoffs. All right. Moving on. The Scurvy Pirate. Now, Scurvy Pirate, that sounds like kind of. That name, it sounds a little nefarious. You tell me a little bit about the Scurvy Pirate before we break down his draft.
He is definitely a nefarious character.
Yeah, a little swarthy.
Yeah, I believe he has a win, though, in the DFS Army Staff League in the past. So not somebody to be trifled with.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to ask you next. Give me his best pick, his worst pick, and then let's tell me what you think his chances of making the playoffs are.
Just looking over this entire team, one pick I personally didn't love. Well, a couple. I thought Austin Eckler went a little too high for me in round five. Not as convinced as everybody else that Austin Eckler will be, a startable RB2 this season. Yes, Melvin Gordon's probably not going to play.
Do you think that's what maybe drove the pick a little bit early? That. The news wasn't positive yesterday for Melvin Gordon. So
I believe that Gordon is not going to play. I'm fully on board with fuck Melvin Gordon, right? I'm on board with that.
I mean, he's going to play at some point, or else he doesn't get a crew to leak year. So he will show up when he has to show up.
Eventually, he's going to show up, right? Maybe. And this is his last season, so he needs to accrue this year. But, you know, I just don't love Austin Eckler there. That's not where I would have went, personally. Well,
who would you have taken instead? I thought for sure. Okay, he already had a tight end. So, I mean, what would you have taken Tevin Coleman there? I mean, would you have gone with a QB at that point? He got pretty good.
I mean, if he needed a running back, right? He had to take a running back at that
right.
spot.
So,
so if you look at who went next.
Sanders, Tevin Coleman, you know.
James White, any one of those guys, for me, I would have taken ahead of Austin Eckler. A little bit nitpicky, but for me, I wouldn't right. have gone there.
Okay,
I would
so
have taken
you,
any one of those guys.
You say that that's the Pirates' worst pick. You thought that, not that you don't hate the situation of the player, but you thought that the value wasn't great. What? Scroll down the board a little bit, and because, you know, at the top, he did a real nice job. He got his receivers. Actually, you know, I think his worst pick, and I could eat these words, if starting with that, is Cooper Kupp. Not because I don't love Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is one of my favorite players in the entire NFL. It's just I'm a little dubious whether he's going to be able to be full strength after his major ACL injury was in week 9. Now, I know all the reports have been like he's had an Adrian Peterson-like recovery, meaning like a total like freak show recovery. And I could eat those words, but
could we change the freak show recovery comparator to Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Even freakier.
But, you know, yeah, no, it's, you know, and to be seen. And I'm just a little, like I said, skeptical that Cooper Kupp is going to have that same short area quickness. And listen, it could pay off. If he is healthy, he is certainly worth a third round pick, not a fourth. But that scared me off him. I don't have one share of Cooper Kupp, and I'm having a little FOMO on him. But I thought that was – I don't even dislike the Eckler pick as much as you do, as well as the Cooper Kupp. All right, let's get on to the good because there's a lot of good in this draft. Tell me about his best pick. Where do you like that he got some good value later on?
All right. I mean, my obvious early one is and I have some – you know, I don't love the depth here. I loved George Kittle in round 3. Again, big fan of getting a great that's who I was taking if he fell to me. So I always look at that and go, damn. I wish he fell to me, right? So I love George Kittle in round 3. As far as really great values late, I think this draft falls as the further it went, the worse it got. I don't like Derek
I asked you
Carr.
To find something good. You're only shitting
I'm
on
not I'm not seeing things I like here deep. I don't love Justice Hill in the 10th round. I don't love Derek Carr, even though it's one of the last picks in the draft, and who gives a shit? I just don't like him. I don't understand. He would not make my bench in a single. He does not belong on your roster,
Pirate. I'm trying to get him to say something nice about you here, Pirate. He's giving you your first 3 picks. Come on, give me something good about Pirate. Give him his percentage chance, and let's move on.
I'll give this one a 50-50 shot. Not as excited about this team as I am about the first.
Yeah,
team.
I'm going to give Pirate a little free advice because I like Pirate. I like his name. And you said he's a swarthy character, which I also like swarthy characters. But
he has a very beautiful wife.
You know what?
That means anything. He married up in a very serious way.
Yep. I like to hear that. Always like to hear our fellow staff members doing well. So I'm going to tell him his Sterling Shepard pick is such a boring but amazing pick. He is going to walk into 120 targets. You know, 80 catches, 900 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Put it in the bank. It's such an under the radar great pick in the 9th round. You could start him any week, especially.
Who's the quarterback for Sterling Shepard?
It doesn't matter. The routes that he runs are the perfect amount of perfect routes for Eli. Shermer's system is just a quick fire. Get the ball out of his hand. The problem with Eli is he takes sacks, and sacks are killers. It's almost a sack is almost like an interception because you almost have if it's first down and you get a 7-yard sack, second and 17 is almost like it's an automatic punt. Now, also, Justice Hill in the 10th round. Now, this is what I've been telling all the Justice Hill owners. The first, you're going to want to drop him after like week 3 because he's going to not do much in the first couple weeks is my prediction. Hold him through the first month. Be patient with Justice Hill. You will get paid. You will get paid. So you're going to want to drop him in September. But come Thanksgiving time, he's a guy that you're going to want on your roster. So if you can hold him through the bye weeks, do it. All right? It's against my interest to tell you that. But you're family now, man. So I'm telling everybody. All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Oh, please don't advise our opponents in the league.
I know. I hear you. All right, man. It's time for yours truly.
Here we go.
I was at pick four, and obviously I had the dilemma to Zeke or not to Zeke. And the worst thing you could do is say, hey, I have him in a bunch of other leagues. I don't want to be overly invested, but guess what? This was my last draft, and I felt, you know, since I do have him in a bunch of drafts, I've taken him aggressively. I passed. Now, that's the first decision that you're going to have to talk about. And the second one was, and this caused a little bit of...
Can you put up on the screen, where are the running backs?
Yeah, hold on. Okay, I'll put it up on the screen now.
Put on the screen. Where are the running backs?
Okay, now, so I started with Devontae Adams. Now, Devontae Adams, I had ranked as my wide receiver one over Hopkins all season long. And, you know, I mean, we can debate the merits of that. I'm very comfortable with that situation, especially with them adding, you know, some more passing targets with Duke Johnson and Kenny Stills. I just think Devontae Adams is going to be force fed the ball. He's a lock for double digit touchdowns. You know, he's been quite durable the last couple of years. I'm quite comfortable with that pick. But when you
can I call it a nutless monkey?
Oh, I think just the opposite. It's a balls pick.
Well, all right. The nutless monkey was the scared of Zeke factor.
I'll give you that.
That's what I'm talking about. You specifically chose pick four because you figured Zeke was going to fall there with uncertainty.
Well, I chose. That's not what happened. I chose.
Continued.
I chose pick four to have all the options available to me.
Fair. Well, now you've had Devontae Adams ranked ahead of DeAndre Hopkins all offseason. So I love that. I love that you stuck with your ranking and said, this is my top wide receiver. I don't give a fuck what some consensus bullshit says. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to take my guy, and I love that. So that's not what I was referring to. I just meant, you know, and again, the Zeke Elliott situation being one of these mysteries, like, you know, we don't know. So you have to go with your risk tolerance in that situation, because we don't know what the fuck is going on with Zeke. But yes, I do like that you sacked up and took your number one wide receiver with the first pick. So that's a positive start.
Now, what you referred to also was my lack of running back depth. Now, let me give you a quick minute to explain, and we won't spend too much time on my draft because everyone wants to hear their draft. So basically, if you look at the board, what I did was I got my one anchor running back in Joe Mixon. Now, Joe Mixon's offensive line, it looks to be one of the worst. I get that, but I do believe in the talent. I almost took Leonard Fournette there, but, you know, it was a decision. It was a hard decision. I thought maybe he'd come around. I didn't realize. I forgot we're drafting with a bunch of sharp drafters. And then what I decided to do was employ a wide receiver heavy strategy. And I have my anchor running back in Joe Mixon. Now I'm going to mix and match until I find that RB2, being that I only have to start two. The worst thing in fantasy football, the hardest thing to do, is choose between three or four middling receivers and try to guess which ones are going to go off that week. What my strategy was, and I guess you can call it, you know, an anchors away or like a zero running back-esque sort of strategy, was each week I'll know who's projected to get the carries. In week one, you know, I'll probably start Royce Freeman, as they project to be a clock-killing situation, or Justin Jackson if Melvin Gordon doesn't show up. But my receivers, I'm going to lock them in. I'm going to go Adams, Godwin, Woods, Landry. All guys that are always projected to get targets. They'll have some volatility. And then Evan Ingram, who could actually, you know, I heard something pretty cool, that Evan Ingram is the only tight end that could actually lead his team in catches. So I may have an actual, and in tight end premium, I may even have like a number 10 overall wide receiver there. Yeah, I'm weak at running back. I went with a high upside in Cam. So best pick, worst pick.
All right. So there you go. Best pick, worst. And that was my point on this draft. I have to say that I just have massive, massive running back concerns here. But you've had a lot of success doing zero RB and picking up a surprising RB. You know, and I've never seen a fantasy football season go by where some running back who was RB1.5/RB2 startable doesn't show up on the waivers at some point. I think you also learned in this draft the difference between drafting in a regular league against, you know, regular people and the different and drafting in a DFS Army staff league, again, where literally everybody in the league has your rankings, many of them are using them for the draft. So certain values that you think might occur don't. And so you kind of like used to waiting on this one guy coming around or some other things happening where it's not happening the same because the rest of this league or at least a few people, you know, three or four, and it only takes a couple are drafting using your rank.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. This room, I was impressed with this room. They forced me into a couple picks. I know that, you know, there was some concern when I took Godwin. Somebody had said, don't you think that's a little bit early? He goes here. And I think that a good lesson is that we always get stuck with, okay, this guy's a fourth round guy. This guy's a fifth round guy. And at some point, you can't get stuck in the thinking. You got to say, okay, is this player going to give me value before the next round? Now, would I've liked to take in like the third round, maybe another running back there. I thought about Kerryon Johnson in the third round. But ultimately, I said, you know what? I have, I've been high on Godwin all offseason. I think that he's never coming off the field. Bruce Arians, he's going to treat him like peak Larry Fitzgerald. It's a guy I wanted on my team, and I went with it. So, all right, quickly. All right,
best pick I thought was Robert Woods, pick 4.9. Yeah. He fell for no great reason. I'm sure you were dreaming of Marlon Mack at that point.
Yeah,
and it must have been a real fucking burn. When Mack, I was pissed off too. I thought Mack might come back around to me, at 5.7. So, that must have been a real blow to your entire plan right there.
That was tough. I was going to take Mahomes or Mack, and they both went boom, boom. So Woods is a nice consolation prize, though. That's when I was committed to the wide receiver strategy right there.
Yeah, that was the turning point, let's call it, of the draft. But you had no choice. I mean, you could have taken Philip Lindsay there. I wouldn't have. It's tough because Woods was such a value at 4.9.
Right, and
Lindsay was like fair value where
right.
You and the guy who was a third round guy.
And I knew I was going to, at that point, I knew that I was going to get Freeman because I think Freeman's going to be similar to Latavius Murray where you can probably, if they get in scoring position, you can give it to Freeman. I like Freeman's chances this year. All right. Draft grade. Or I would say percentage of chance.
I'm going to give you a 40% chance to make the playoffs with this draft.
I'll take it. All right. Moving on. We are up to, let's see. We are up to a Barlow's draft. So you just he picked
D. Barlow, a DFS Army $275,000 winner.
Whoa.
He is a quarter millionaire from Daily Fantasy Sports.
Right there. I mean, that's unbelievable as it is. I mean, the money's great and that's awesome, but just to know that you did that, it's like. It's one of those things. I mean, did he have to stand there with the big check and all that kind of stuff, like the oversight?
He did not. There was no fanfare for this win in terms of that. But, fucking A, man.
I would love to know what he did
there with that check. He redid his kitchen, invested some money for the future, paid off his mortgage. Like, this guy, Dave's life was changed in some ways.
What sport was it in?
NFL, 2 years ago.
And who was the key guy that got him over the edge for that one?
You know, I have it. I don't recall the lineup exactly, but
oh man, I want to interview him. I want to.
Yeah, I don't recall the lineup, but yeah, it was a special lineup. I think towards the end of the 2017 season.
Is
pretty awesome.
Is Dave a married guy? Does he have a girlfriend or
he's married? I've met him and his wife.
I mean, what's funny is like, you know, this is in my own scenario, my own head, but I can picture like, why are you always spending all that time doing
yes, that did happen.
Football? Oh, 275. All right, keep going.
when I met them, I said to her something along those lines. I'm like, you know, most of our wives kind of get annoyed when we, you know, sit and spend all of our time doing fantasy football and shit like that. And I was like, you give them a hard time. She's like, no, I got a new kitchen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It just proves that it can be done, Dave. So, that's his name, right? You said Dave Barlow?
Yeah, Dave.
All right. We got a lot of Dave. All right. Let's, now that was the good. Now let's talk about how terrible of a drafter he was. No, I don't. I'm looking at it now. Good. Talk to me about, Barlow's draft. You know the drill, man. Tell me the,
I really love. All right. So I like this draft overall. A very strong, running back crew with Bell, Kerryon Johnson. and Marlon Mack. I think that I like Miles Sanders very much. So it's a running back heavy draft early on. You've got a quality WR anchor here in Mike Evans. So everything kind of went well. Emmanuel Sanders is one of the guys that I have ranked massively. I think Dave was probably, you know, looking at these picks, I feel like Dave was a leaner on the geek, maybe on the geeks rankings, because, you know, I'm way higher on Emmanuel. He was a guy I was about to take two picks later. I had to take Vance, but he was a guy I was hoping would come back around to me. Emmanuel Sanders, maybe a little high. I might have taken a Robbie Anderson there, but I like Emmanuel Sanders anyway, right? I think the Matt Breida pick probably was unnecessary with four already quality running backs on the team to go running back again in round five, especially in round seven, especially a guy who projects as more of a backup, like flex player type guy. I think that was a little bit early on Breida. Tight end position, Mark Andrews, you know, high upside, and I like the stack he got going. Lamar Jackson, I love. There's a lot of good spots here early on. I think the tight end position is going to be difficult, and wide receiver depth is a problem for Dave.
What I really like what Dave did, you know, you talked about his tight end problem, is that he has Andrews and Lamar Jackson, and I think that's actually a really strong upside play right there. I mean, tight end's going to be a wasteland, and if he built this team with such depth throughout with the running backs and the way draft fell to him and the smart picks that he made, that I'm not overly concerned about it. I think Andrews is going to be one of those guys that emerges as like tight end seven this year, tight end eight, and that's how we had him ranked. And of course, we love Lamar Jackson there.
I think the biggest issue, I mean, if you look at his team, is there's no real wide receiver depth at all. And right. He's got to start.
He's got enough. He's got enough ammo there to make a trade. I think, in fact, Barlow and myself might be good trade partners, since I have extreme depth. And if, say, Miles Sanders turns into something, he could sell off maybe one of his other running backs, or, you know, Breida. Again, I like the Breida pick. I think that backfield's going to be a 60-40 share. I thought about him. I wanted to get one taste of Devin Singletary, since you were so high on him. I wanted to. I don't love the setup for him as much as you do, but
I love Devin. I like Devin Singletary.
Yeah, no, and I went in with your, you know, I mean, ultimately, I'm going to be wrong about a fair share of my opinions. So this was a FOMO pick, meaning, you know, just a fear of missing out on Singletary. So I wanted one share of him, and that's usually not a great way to draft, but, you know, I have it. So maybe, you know, where a Jarvis Landry for one of his running backs, or if he wants.
Well, let's not make trades during this show.
No, I'm saying it's potentially that just when you overload on a position, somebody else has overloaded another one, and that makes for good trade partners. So I'm just saying there are trades that make sense in fantasy football. Give me his percentage chance of making the playoffs.
Again, a little bit of lack of depth there at the wide receiver position. Not in love with the tight end on this team.
Well, he has Herndon also, but he's going to have to hold on to him until like week six.
Going to have to wait a little bit. I think you know, Andrews will give you some good games, but I'm really worried about the wide receiver depth. Manny Sanders, injury risk at any moment. So I'm going to give this one a 50% playoff chance, and 50% being average, because half of the teams will make the playoffs.
Right. So that's you give him a 50-50 shot. Right, yeah. Dave, I would say you're at least in the top 11 teams.
There it is.
I'm only kidding, Dave. I like your team more than Kevin does. I gave you about a 64% chance, which, again, that is a very good chance. Now, anything over 50 means that you're in. I mean, that means that you are in the playoffs. And all you got to do, and by the way, is the playoff format, is it just the are we doing like the last spot is by points? Has that been discussed?
I have no idea.
All right. Usually what we like to do is the top five are by record, and the last playoff spot is given to the team with most points regardless of record.
I certainly hope we're doing that. Every league should be that way.
I'll bother Davey again. He loves when I make little suggestions. All right. So Fightin' 2016. Let me
know. Fight on 2016.
Fight on 2016. I'm creating a banner for him live as we talk. Okay.
There we go.
You like that, right? This new tech, I'm loving this tech. You're liking the tech?
I love the tech, man.
You just invested, you know, we in some of the premium features here, and I think they're working out pretty well. All right, I'll go first on Fight On 2016. All right, I thought he had one of my favorite drafts in a sense where it's players that I haven't drafted all offseason, and I'm bound to be wrong. So I can look at this draft easily and say, oh, these aren't my guys. Screw them. Worst draft. But the Todd Gurley in the middle of the second round is the perfect spot to get him. First of all, he got the consensus number one wide receiver, mostly because I passed on him at six. So you can't argue that. It's the DeAndre Hopkins spot is right there. He knew who he's getting. But now he has two veteran running backs that have both finished in the last few years as RB1. So the upside is there for him to have the two best running backs. Now, that said, those two running backs come with obvious concerns, but that's baked into their price. If Freeman wasn't considered a fragile veteran, he wouldn't be in the third round. He'd be in the early second like he was at one point. I'm going to put the draft up on the board. Pat Mahomes in the fourth, that's going to be an obvious steal. You and I have a large ticket bet. I don't know. We put it on a podcast. We gathered a group of people and made $1,000 bet on Patrick Mahomes over 35.5 touchdowns. In fact, we'll be celebrating every time Pat Mahomes passes the rock and it goes in the end zone. So we love that pick. Now, T.Y. Hilton fell to a value. I think Brissett's going to be better than you do. And Josh Gordon in the sixth round. Now, obviously, in week two, he could be out of the NFL, but it's fine. And then he got Jared Cook, who is a capable tight end all the way through. Corey Davis, amazing value. If I was to critique this draft, is that there is, it's hard for me to critique it in a sense where he got a lot of guys that just, he took the values. He took, Gurley was a first round pick, fell to the middle of the second because of injury concerns. Same thing with Freeman. So if I was to critique it, it's a heavy, risky strategy where he could be, I think Fight On could either be the best team in the league or literally be sitting at the bottom of the standings. He's got such a range of outcomes. What say you?
Yeah, there's a lot of injury risk going on here. A lot of it. Now, injury risk, what the fuck do we know about injury risk? I don't know. But if you look through this Freeman, not a guy who's been able to finish seasons in recent years, definitely concerns, higher workload than usual. There's concerns there. Todd Gurley, we know about the knee issues, and there's concerns there. T.Y. Hilton has never done well without Andrew Luck at the helm, so there's concerns there. Josh Gordon could be back on the pipe at any day. We don't know. But if he stays around, great. So there's a lot of injury losing of players concerns here in the early rounds. And that's why a lot of these guys were bargains. So there was a ton of bargains going on here. Again, if I could make some critiques.
He had the all bargain team. You're right. He got all the values. It's kind of, that was
everybody fell, which is probably a smart way to get. Listen, it makes sense. He's a gambler. He's a sports bettor.
So Fight On, is it? He's a gambler?
He's part of our sports bet army or beat the bookie team. And, when you're a gambler, what you're looking for, when you bet on sports against a bookie, what you're looking for is value. It's not about, hey, I think, Muhammad Ali has a 98% chance of beating, Frazier or some shit
right,
like
it's
that.
What happens if. It's what happens. So yeah, what's Fight On evaluating. Name? What's his first name?
His name's Ryan.
Is he, what's it called? Okay, Ryan, you're going to be hearing from me over the season because I like talking odds. I like talking spreads. And if you're a football odds guy, man, I'm always going to have some interesting questions for you.
Ryan's all about that. He's built incredible NFL models.
What's his name in the chat?
He's Fight On 2016. And right. Ryan leads our, like I said, our Beat the Bookie sports bet advice team. His models, he works for a quantitative hedge fund. And he's built those quantitative hedge fund like models into a sports bet model. So check out Beat the Bookie if you're DFS Army and you're listening.
All right.
If you want to bet on NFL, his model returned something like a 55 or 56% win rate last season, which is like
amazing.
Otherworldly spectacular for NFL. So really all good right. stuff and always all improving. Right. But to look at his draft again.
Super quick now because we spent a lot of time on his draft. Give me best pick, worst pick, percentage chance of making the playoffs because we are already 40 minutes in and we got a bunch of teams to do.
Yeah, we got to push through this a little bit quicker. I think his best pick was I think Pat Mahomes in the fourth round. I think that was a good spot to take him. I think we're talking worst pick. I'm going to go with Devonta Freeman
okay.
at 3.6. I just think there were better players available. I'm going to give him a 40 percent chance of making the playoffs. Okay. And it's not because of these players. It's because of the injury risk.
Okay. Very good. All right. Moving on. Good job. Good job. Fight on. All right. We're going to go to yours. So in order just to make up a little ground here, I'm going to fully review yours and not even give you a chance to rebut unless there's something.
I said that's so outrageous. I need to rebut a little bit.
Okay.
Review mine. But, and you can be as brutal as you like.
Oh, I plan to be. All right, so I admire the gumption, the balls to take Zeke at 7, especially the news last night wasn't looking overly positive, but you know, let's get your face up on the screen so you can, as I critique you, we can watch you sweat and be uncomfortable. Okay. Antonio Brown, you know, I'm a big Antonio Brown guy. I don't buy into his feet. He's a crazy person. You know what he is? He's a fucking amazing football player who's going to get lead the league in targets or pretty close to it, and he's going to get the only problem is he might have some down weeks, but what receiver doesn't? But
he was the last of what I considered the round one level studs.
Yeah, him and Mike Evans for sure. I mean, I probably would have gone Evans only because I have so much Antonio Brown. But if I had $1,000 on the line, I'm going Antonio Brown. Now I passed on Diggs for Chris Godwin. That can prove to be a mistake. Diggs to me, he's a good football player. What's funny is that Adam Thielen last year dominated the first 8 weeks, and then when they changed to a run heavy system, Diggs dominated the last 8 weeks. So that could end up being a sneaky good pick.
Dominated when he was healthy last season. There were a few games where they changed
systems midstream.
Yeah, I remember that. And they put him in the slot. I mean, they did some things, but he was good when healthy.
Do you want the good or the bad first? Because I'll give you.
Yeah, give me the bad, man.
Bad first is the obvious, man. You're a professional season long player, and you have three QBs, three good ones in a one QB league. Three, you're gonna actually probably have to drop one when a good free agent comes up. It's almost going to be impossible to trade one unless Kyler Murray is so off the wall good, you'll be able to trade him, because it never works like this. It never works that, okay, you have two or three QBs in a one QB league. The amazing one you want to keep and trade the shitty one, because you're not going to, or the average one, you're not going to be able to trade a Russell Wilson or Jared Goff. If Murray goes off, you'll be able to trade him and keep the other ones. And, you know, you might be able to trade him for a wide receiver too. So
I might be able to trade one of these guys for like a high end kicker.
I doubt it.
No, not even a kicker.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Because the high-end kickers are so valuable, and we can talk about that another time. But, you know, I did take Butker early in the 11th round because he's got a late bye. You know my whole spiel on taking a good kicker early. Maybe, you know, you never know. But I think that taking three QBs is amateur hour. That said, you have three really good ones, and that would definitely be your worst play. There's no way you can argue anything against that. Your best play is Will Fuller. And I know he has been up and down. He was going in the 6th round. He's going in the 10th round. Reports today is that he is locked and loaded. He's healthy. And when he's healthy, you know what he does? He scores touchdowns. And he's a game changer. You stick him in your wide receiver 3 or your flex 2 spot, and he wins you weeks. So that is your best pick. Worst pick is certainly the overstocking of QBs.
Defend the fact that I that was an auto pick and I wasn't paying attention?
That's not defense. That's actually more offense.
Okay.
Yeah, right, I mean, with a minute and 30 timer, auto drafting is unacceptable. I've heard in our chat room, you guys have a cockamamie chat room, man. Chat room, I'm on a boat. I'm in a car. What happened to going to a desk and drafting? Like, I always hear these stories. People are drafting. It's Labor Day weekend. It's an hour and a half. You figure it out. I understand. I'm in a hot air balloon. I didn't know what are these guys talking about. So it's anyway. Auto drafting. You weren't. You were home. Okay.
I was just paying attention to the chat. I was looking at something else.
As usual,
my term just passed me by. That is the problem. I am distracted very easily.
As usual, you put together a beautiful draft, top to bottom. Good grade. I'm going to give you a 70% chance, and that is a really good grade because it's just so much volatility during the season. Figure out what you're going to do with those QBs because the waiver wire gems are coming, but overall, you did good again. So moving on. All right, we're going to move on to I think my favorite guy in the league is Eric F. I've been talking to Eric a little bit. You know, we've been exchanging some chat room stuff. He asked me some questions. I'm interested in what's going on with him. He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. I like Eric. I like his he's got a good – is that – you know Eric? You know him well?
Yeah. Eric's been with us for a long time. He's one of our MMA guys, tennis.
Tennis.
He's into
tennis.
Some niche sports.
Yeah, I'm interested in tennis. I love tennis, and I just don't know enough about it. And like I said, good guy. You know, he started off so strong. his first three picks were, I mean, Julio, Michael Thomas back to back. I was like, ooh, Eric coming through here. And then he took a calculated risk with Melvin Gordon. I wouldn't have done it. I think that's where things went a little sideways for him. So he's one of these guys that has a strong top of draft, got Aaron Rodgers in the sixth round, and then it goes a little sideways. Why don't you talk to me, since I just spoke for a little bit on your draft, talk to me a little bit about the good and the bad of Eric.
I mean, for me, Melvin Gordon is the clear worst pick in this draft. I mean, to take him over a Calvin Ridley or, an Allen Robinson, or even at running back, White or Geis, just a big miss for me. Obviously, if Melvin Gordon comes back at some point early and starts beasting, then he's going to be laughing all the way to the bank. It's an okay risk, but certainly not one I would have taken. I do think, though, there was a little panic setting in at that point for Eric, and he's kind of getting a little nervous about the running back position and that pick. But, I don't hate Aaron Rodgers in round six. I think that pick probably cost him what could have been a quality tight end. They were drying up real quick at that point. And, later on, the worst pick overall is Kareem Hunt in round 10. That is just a wasted pick.
Let's explain it. We'll explain why. Is that, and again, Eric, by his own admission, is, he's focused on some other sports. He's an experienced fantasy football player, but unless you're really diving into this thing, a lot of people drafted Kareem Hunt this offseason, and that was kind of a little bit of a hidden piece of glass in the sand where, hey, it's Kareem Hunt, he's going to come back. But think about it. He's suspended 8 weeks. There's a bye week. Until he's back, it's week 10. You can't just play him cold in week 10. So until you really get to use him, it's week 12. Now, he could be perfectly fine and do damage for you in the playoffs, but the problem is
how much damage? You hold this guy for 12 weeks on your team, and then you're going to, what? Chubb is still there. So it's like, what do you get? Is flex play? Why did you hold him for 12 weeks?
Here's the case for it. The case for it is that when he comes back, and he is coming back, is that Chubb is dominating, to say, and you know what? The Browns are 8-3. Okay, so they want to give Kareem Hunt a little more work to keep Chubb rested. And it could be a LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams type split, which means Kareem Hunt's useful. The problem is the opportunity cost of holding a player like that when all the free agents come up. That's the real opportunity cost. I think here's some free advice for Eric, who I like. You should cut him. And then it's going to be a game of chicken between the whole league as when to pick up Kareem Hunt. So if he's coming back in week 9, 10, 11, starting week 5 or 6, someone's going to pick him up. It won't be me, but week 6 will go by. Week 7 will go by, and it's a game of chicken between the whole league to when to pick him up. Somebody's going to get him. I just think that for the first 4 weeks, you can hold him as long until you can't. You can try to sell him to the Nick Chubb owner, but other than that, it's tough to hold guys like that, especially with the short benches. So give Eric a draft grade.
We're not going to grade them, right? We're giving a
percentage chance of making the playoffs.
I'm going to give him a 45% chance, slightly below average chance in this league of making the playoffs. I just think I love the wide receiver pairing. I like a couple of these running backs, but I think there's a depth situation here that he's not going to be starting, in the early weeks anyway. Enough starter quality players on this team. He's got Tyrell Williams in the starting lineup right now, and Christian Kirk in his starting lineup potentially right now. I don't like that, so I'm going to give him. Actually, I'm going to go to 40% because he's got two spots on his roster that are live spots that I think are not really even starter worthy.
I like his team a little bit better than you for the reasons I outlined. Those two monster wide receivers.
You're just too kind, man. You're too kind.
No, I'm being honest. Absolutely. Now, I said I don't think he's. I would say he's a little better than average. I think he could be a six seed. I think he's about 51% chance. 51. My algorithm right here says 51.6% chance. So
after I finish making a trade with him, those chances will go down even further.
Ugh. My God, don't do it. Don't do it. The geeks, there's people in my other dynasty league that call that their team name is the geek trade rape me. I mean, they literally, he is known. So just buyer beware,
Please. I have never done any trades in the staff leagues because I feel like it's almost like sexually harassing an employee. And I just feel like it's inappropriate for me because I'm like, make a trade with me or you're fired.
Oh, ooh, that's so, that you're like the Roger Ailes.
I'm basically, yes, I'm that Roger. That's the one of all of the I'm the Harvey Weinstein of wait, who's a boss who
well, Roger Ailes. I'm the Bill Clinton.
Did he harass women?
Oh my God. Do you not see the show? Do you have Showtime?
No, let's not get into that. Well,
this is a show recommendation. It's called The Loudest Voice. Russell Crowe plays Roger Ailes. He's going to win certainly an award. It's such a good, it's like a 5 or 6 part show. It tells the whole history of Fox News. It's a movie. It's like a 6 part movie.
Let me ask you a question. What's the point of hiring super hot blonde chicks?
Ratings.
For it. If you can't, you know, get a little something.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I hope no. I mean,
use your
I think you just me too'd the whole audience.
If you can't use your bossly powers to pressure them into things,
We'll move on. That's what I said. Before you get arrested. All right. What's it called? Mud 18. We're going to move on to Mud 18. I'm going to give you a quick review here. Mud 18, David Johnson has been tumbling down draft boards. I'm glad he took advantage of that. David Johnson's probably going to be the one guy that everyone's like, oops, I should have drafted him. But there is some obvious risk. David Johnson hasn't been David Johnson in a few years now. Travis Kelce in a tight end premium, he probably should be a first-round pick. That's an unbelievable pick. And then just moving down the board, I'm going to give you his worst best. I'm going to do it quickly. Not that, but I love the little Sean McCoy pick. I was hoping he would fall to me at that point. You know what's going to happen is Andy Reid's going to get the first carry of the game to LeSean McCoy. We're going to be like, oh, oops, sorry, Damian Williams. So that's extreme value there. Baker Mayfield, I think he's going to be a top three QB this year. He just hit all the value lottery late. D.D. Westbrook, people have pegged as the number one wide receiver there. He did really great late in the draft, and I even like the Hardman pick. And Ben Roethlisberger is a 14th round QB. He was QB3 last year, and now he's in the 14th round. But my least favorite pick was Galladay at 4. I told you already, I think Marvin Jones is going to outproduce him. Galladay is so talented. I just don't think there's going to be enough to feed both guys. Sometimes they tend, especially someone like Stafford has been around, to feed the veteran. That could end up being a costly pick. There's some other guys I liked a little better there. Obviously Woods, Tyler Boyd, I thought would have been better picks there. But you know what? Listen, we all have bad picks. I had a bunch of them. I love this team. I think about a 64.4% chance to make the playoffs from Mutt.
I'm not as high on you on the team. I like it. I think he did great in the draft. There's wonderful depth on the bench here. So no issues there at all. I do think there is a lack of running back depth on this team that may come back to bite him here. But overall, you know, it's good. It's good everywhere. I agree with you on the Galladay pick being a little bit dangerous there. And it's not a guy I really want to rely on as my WR1. Love Kelce and all of that.
In all fairness, I did say on a podcast, though, that I loved Galladay as a top 10 receiver, but I did back off that pretty quickly once I learned about Stafford's continuing back problems.
Just that whole team, and I think there's some issues with, I don't love D.D. Westbrook maybe as much as some others might. I don't think LeSean McCoy is like definitely a guy I'm excited to start week one. When I actually look at his matchup against Chris N as a great guideline for, hey, is my team good? In the flex positions here, he's got Westbrook going up against Chris's like Leonard Fournette or D. Williams.
Yeah, Chris is hard to compare teams with because Chris.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? He's got Shady McCoy going up against Chris Carson here.
Yeah,
now, of course, Kelce versus Olsen is a much, much bigger win for Kelce. But I mean, when I just looking at those two teams, you know, that's his matchup week one, which is why I happen to be looking at Chris's team looks so much deeper.
Yeah, but here go. So keep the focus on Mutt's team real quick. Give me his best pick. Give me his worst pick. And then we'll give him a handicap, his percentage chance of not beating Chris. Obviously, you know, that's...
I'm just with you. I agreed with a lot of what you said. I think his best pick was Travis Kelce in round two. I think his worst pick was probably Kenny Galladay
where
he took him. And I'm giving him a 40% slightly below average chance of making the playoffs.
See, this is where we differentiate the most. I actually have him as about a 62% chance because Travis Kelce is a difference maker. It'll really depend on how his running backs perform, but I'm going to err on the side of upside. Good job, Mutt. We're going to move over.
I hate to piss on people's Cheerios, you know, with these like sub.
You love average.
I do love pissing on people.
All right, let's move on.
All right,
we got Flynn. Is what's Flynn's first name? It says R. Flynn. What's his first name? Do you know?
I just know him as Flinny.
All right, Flinny. Where's Flinny from?
I don't have a clue, man.
All right, Flinny.
He is.
Is he born on July 10th? Is that why it's 7/10?
You'd have to think so, but I don't know.
Well, pay stub. Let's check him out real quick. Now, I mean, you got to be loving that he took Nick Chubb in the first round, right?
I love. I love his draft. This is one of my favorite, or up until there's a point where I thought it went off the rails, but I love his first five picks. I love them so much. Like, I wish it's funny. He drafted not super different from me, but like, I would happily trade places on this top five list. I love.
Yeah. No. So just for those who aren't seeing the visual board, Flynn, who drafted from the 10th spot, which I almost took. 10th spot was definitely a good spot. He got Chubb, Juju, Amari Cooper, Lockett, then came in with Deshaun Watson, and then O.J. Howard. I almost took O.J. Howard in the third round. I cannot believe that he slipped to 6. I've said on a couple different podcasts already that I believe O.J. Howard will finish as the tight end one, or there's at least a 20% chance of it, I said.
I had dreams of Howard making it to me.
Yeah, no, that was unbelievable. Juju, I think, should be going around like pick 8. I have him ranked over Julio in our rankings as wide receiver 3. This is him and Chris, and we keep talking about Chris, but Flinny's, this is my favorite draft on the board. A lot of high upside rookies. I love Latavius Murray. Darwin Thompson, he got in the perfect spot because Darwin Thompson still has the same upside. It just might take longer to show itself at this point. My favorite pick is the O.J. Howard in round 6. That's ridiculous value. You can down and down and down the draft. If I'm nitpicking at the draft, I'm going to say that Jordan Howard, but it is a low upside pick. But I mean, who you really taking there? There's all low upside guys at that point. It's probably a safe floor guy. I'm going to nitpick you right now and say I don't like your defense. I mean, the Rams' defense is a little overrated, but you got them right where everyone was taking the defenses, and they're playing Carolina in Week 1.
I mean, he took them ahead of – let's be clear here, because you want to – Rams are fine, in my opinion, but he did take them ahead of Jacksonville, Baltimore. So some – what I consider I definitely like Jacksonville and Baltimore above the Rams, even though the Rams are going ADP-wise number 1 or number 2 overall. Number 2 overall.
So. He might, he has the same issue I do. He's going to have some week to week trying to pick who that number 2 running back is, but he did it perfectly. The anchors away strategy, one great running back, load up on receiver and pass catchers. Deshaun Watson could very easily be the QB1. This is an 85% chance to make the playoffs, and I would even call him the favorite to win the whole thing if things break his way.
Again, his issue is lack of running back depth, and that's it. So, one of the things you and I talked about a lot on the lead up to draft season, and it's a scary thing to do, but running backs, you're much more likely to acquire a starting level running back off of waivers at some point due to the high injury factor of that position. You're very unlikely to find a WR1 or 2 off waivers throughout an entire season. So people who wait on running back, as uncomfortable as that makes you feel, and it's very uncomfortable, you wind up with a situation where a good move or two in season management wise really makes all of the, you pick up a Damian Williams level situation here or a Philip Lindsay type situation here for this team, because it's only really missing, or if one of these guys, Darrell Henderson, I don't love the late part of the draft. There was a lot of chasing of mediocre running backs.
Yeah, but that's what you got to do. He played it perfectly. Like you said, you just alluded to it, but it's easier to find a running back than it is to find a wide receiver, because the wide receivers are volatile as it is. And then unless, like, here's an example. Like if Aaron Rodgers, if something, God forbid, and happened to Davante Adams in the first game, and Jake Kumerow goes seven catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, you're going all in on that guy because that's obviously Rodgers' guy. That's predictable. But if Randall Cobb has a great game Week 1, I don't even know if you're making more than a few dollar bid on it. And we'll talk about that. All right. Great job, Flynn. I think you're one of the favorites. You agree? Yes or no?
Yes. I see him as one of the favorites. If he can acquire a
a RB2 that's startable, or if one of these guys emerges, he's going to be. He should have taken Devin Singletary.
Wildcat WR review. Wildcat, he's a wild man, huh? I saw him taking some stabs at people in the chat room. I like his spirit, his fighter spirit. Tell me a little bit about Wildcat. Do you know him personally?
I don't know him personally.
What does he do for the company?
He is one of our mods, so he's a friend of the DFS Army, and he now functions as one of our Slack chat moderators. He welcomes people when they're new to the Army. He points out for new members where to go, who to talk to.
Right. So he's
that
like
sort of thing.
He's the friendly face at the door when you walk into the nice restaurant.
He's one of our moderators, and of course lets me know when somebody's getting unruly so I can give him the boot.
Okay, good. So he's your eyes and ears in the field. That means he's trustworthy. Now let's see if he had a nice trustworthy draft. I'll take a stab at this one first, if you don't mind.
I know what you're going to hate just by looking at this.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I know you're thinking AJ Green, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, AJ Green. This is how I feel. We all love AJ Green, the player. AJ Green went with the fifth pick, and he could end up coming back and being fine. I just think that. Through our fantasy season, we have to navigate so many landmines and injuries and real problems, and it's a scrap to find players that when our player is starting hurt and we know he's not coming back for at least the first few games, possibly longer, and then let's say he misses three games, and then he's back in week four. Can you really start him just sight unseen off of an injury? No. So let's say you don't start him, and he goes two catches for 18 yards. Then you can't even start him in week five. So now it's week six. I'm just saying, unless it was an extreme value, like he fell to like the eighth or ninth round. Now, I know people have different opinions on it. So I just think the fifth round is just way too valuable of a pick. He passed on. He ended up getting Hunter Henry, which is a great tight end value there. But you know, there's so many other other decent options there. I mean, I like Jarvis Landry. I took him. Allen Robinson, I almost took there. I thought he could have added those. Because I think Allen Robinson's going to have a great season. I understand the pick. I just don't agree with it. And then also, he went aggressive on David Montgomery. And now David Montgomery could pay off really, really nicely for him. You're paying the premium for the upside. You just don't know how it's all going to work out. But he had a really nice draft overall. I like what he did. I love David and Njoku. You know that. A friend of mine who went to every Browns practice said every time the Browns get down to the goal line, they just fired into David and Njoku, that he has been their main target on the goal line. So
think about their wide receiver corpse. You know, it's not Odell Beckham, who's this red zone, you know, from 5 yards out, 8 yards out guy. It's definitely not Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry could be that guy. But I don't know that that's what I think of Jarvis Landry. So, you know, it does make sense. I think a lot of those tutties are going to go to Chubb, but.
Yeah, but they can't run in 30 touchdowns. You know, if the Browns project to get some of the most inside the 5 yard line opportunities of anything. So if I was going to say who's going to lead the league in 7 yards and in first downs, meaning like you're going to have first and goal on the seven or closer, the Browns would be in the top five. Would be my guess.
They'll be down there a lot. And yeah, you're right. Njoku could be a good touchdown catcher.
Yeah, because, you know, and this is the third year where tight ends typically break out. So this could be a guy that we said, oh my God, I should have seen it coming. Last year, George Kittle was a little bit more obvious and he was going in like the eighth round. This could be the guy we're talking about next year where, oh my God, I didn't see it coming. He's, 600 yards, but like,
I tell you one thing about looking at his draft here? I did think that he was a candidate for a QB upgrade. He was able to get Kirk Cousins and Mitch Trubisky late in this draft. I like Trubisky. I like Kirk Cousins. I don't know if I like the idea of starting them every single week.
Well, he's going to toggle through them. He's going to toggle.
A couple other spots I loved on the But you know what I'm saying? Like you're gonna play those two. I think you'll be okay. One spot that I loved late in his draft. I love the C.J. Anderson pick in the last round. That is spectacular. C.J. Anderson has RB1 upside if Kerryon Johnson gets hurt, and I think C.J. Anderson
is basically a discounted version of Latavius Murray, who went in like round, you know, six or seven. I don't see any difference between Lats Murray's role on the Saints and C.J. Anderson's likely role on Detroit, other than the team will score more.
Right. There you go. The difference is the offensive line is elite in New Orleans, and the offense itself, whereas the offense may be less than average. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and the price reflects that, though.
Absolutely. But I mean, to get Anderson in the last round of the draft, spectacular. So I don't love the pick of Michael Gallup in 9-11 in round 9. I didn't like that. So
why not? Why not? Don't just say you don't like it. Tell us why not.
Gallup is shit. There were people around him at that point still that were quality players. So like, I'm just going to point out who was still available. Oh man.
Well, see, I disagree that Gallup's a bad player. He was a rookie last year, and he should any rookie at the at receiver tight end that shows a pulse can take a nice leap in the next year. I mean, I don't see people are really high on MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and you know, it's I don't see much difference between Gallup and MVS.
I saw, you know, I don't like to try to evaluate talent. You know this, or maybe you don't. I don't like to evaluate a player's talent. I just like to see what they've done and project. I saw some talent out of MVS, though. My man was going up, totally, getting the football, fighting for it, and coming down with it. You know, it was like the opposite of what I see from a lot of these guys who don't end up making it in the league. When I saw a few games last season with MVS, for example, because we're talking about him, going up and getting the football, fighting against the defensive back, and like coming down, making an NFL catch.
No, I love that part. He looks the part. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is that if you were to do straight up, like who's going to have more targets in 2019, MVS or Gallup, it would be close, right? Like you couldn't, it would be like 50-50 to see who gets more targets. Because
I've seen enough years of the WR2 in Dallas not doing shit. To yeah, but know that,
it's a new system.
I don't count on it.
It's a new system. It's a new coordinator in Kellen Moore. And Dak in the preseason looked like he was a QB ready to jump into the elite tier.
That's going to need to happen. And listen, we're nitpicking a ninth round pick. You know, there wasn't Eric Ebron was there. There wasn't that much going on at this point in the ninth round.
Best pick, worst pick, chances of making it, and then we'll wrap up with Philly Boy.
I really had some issues across the board with his draft. I would have taken Juju over Odell. There's a lot of differences here. I do love Hunter Henry there in the sixth round. I'm going to say that was his best pick.
Don't you feel like either Hunter Henry or Mike Williams will bust? Like one of them's going to be really good this year and one of them's not?
No, I could see them both being good. I just know that Chargers team wants to go to the tight end position. We've seen them do it for years. I think Mike Williams is more... I think it's going to be Keenan Allen who busts. So, you know, okay.
Yeah, but they do different things. Like Hunter Henry and Mike Williams.
I know these two guys are touchdown catchers.
But no Melvin Gordon this year, so maybe they do throw more at the goal line. All right, chances of making the playoffs for a Wildcat.
I'm going to put him, again, at a slightly below average chance. I'm going to give him a 45%. I just can't give everybody a 70% chance of making the play. I'm putting him as one of the teams I see as less than average likely to make the playoffs.
I like if his running backs pay off, then I could be eating these words. I'd put him at right around average, around 48.7% chance. Definitely a team that could do some damage once they get in there. In PPR, I'm a little dubious of Derrick Henry. And by the way, if you haven't heard, we interviewed Derrick Henry's high school coach. It's on our podcast stream. That was really cool. He talked about Derrick Henry's pass catching prowess and their lack of. So check that out on our podcast stream in DFS Army. And also the AJ Green thing, I think, is going to be a real problem for him, especially if that lingers. So that's why it's a little bit below average. But overall, I like his team. Dalvin Cook is set up for a monster year. I love Odell Beckham. Good job, Wildcat. You definitely came through.
If the AJ Green thing comes together, like I could see AJ Green, you know, coming back and being good in the second half if that happened, and all of a sudden providing him an elite, late sort of cavalry wide receiver that could like help a team that's kind of been not doing that great, below average, then make a run in the second half and, you know, squeak your way into the playoffs that way.
Totally. Totally. All right. Yeah. Philly boy picked from the 12th spot, which is a great spot. He started off his draft on the wrap with Connor and Hill. You can't ask for better than that. I mean, what's really good about drafting at the end of drafts is you're going to get two really good players. He did great with that. He loaded up on wide receiver. got great values. He did the same thing the strategy that I try to imply, which is get that anchor running back, hit your wide receivers, and then just try to fill, mix and match with your other running back. Kenyon Drake in the 7th round is just definitely his best pick. I was high on Drake. The offense is going to be bad, but Drake is going to catch a shit ton of passes.
I love the Dreezy.
Yeah, that's like the perfect spot for him. Tony Pollard in the 8th round, I love it because he sniped you a couple picks.
You just
before.
Loved it because he sniped me. I think that's worth it. Pick.
No, I mean, who cares? As long as he sniped you, that's what. Okay. That's why it's a good pick.
But in fairness, that's his worst pick.
Maybe not.
To me, that was the worst pick.
I love that he got another high upside handcuff. Our founding father, Alexander Mattinson, in round 10. That's the thing. I like when people get other people's handcuffs because it does put you in a high leverage position. He waited all the way to the 13th round for Tom Brady. Tom Brady certainly took an uptick in value with all of the wide receivers now. People thought he was going to be alone, no Gronk, but Edelman's fine after a scary preseason injury that ended up being nothing. Josh Gordon, ready to go, presumably. They re-signed Demaryius Thomas yesterday. Looked good in that last preseason game. I like Tom Brady. He really did the wait on QB thing. Best pick for me is the Kenyon Drake. Worst pick, I would say, would be Ito Smith. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's so deep in the draft. I just don't think Ito is going to have any real value this year. I like Brian Hill as the backup, or Quadri Olsen, who actually he kind of sucks. That's asking a lot. He really dominated early in the draft here. I like his team a lot. I'm going to go 60. Actually, I'm going to give him a 71.1% chance to make the playoffs. But this is a team that it's going to have to make. It's going to do the same thing that some of our other teams have to do. Just make some waiver wire moves and protect all those assets. What say you?
I just want to point out a move that he made that I like here. So more than a pick, but in the 4-5 turn, he picked. Actually, this is not the turn. Look at that. All right, so in round 4 he takes Julian Edelman. In round 5 he takes James White. And now what I love about that,
it's a 5-6 turn that he did that. Five.
Well, no, it was Edelman and then White at the beginning of the 5-6 turn. What I love about Edelman and White on the same team, Edelman is a great PPR asset when he's healthy. We love him, but he's very brittle. He's 34. He's on the point of his career where I don't trust him to last a full season. He plays a position that gets hit a lot. But the thing is, when Edelman is out, James White goes into beast mode. So I love having that pairing on my team because, again, whereas I'm nervous about Edelman from an injury perspective, if that does happen, like I'm definitely taking Calvin Ridley, for example. There are a lot of wide receivers I liked more than Edelman at 4.1. There's a lot of players I like. I think Edelman might be my least favorite pick on this team. If we're not talking about the late ones, my least favorite early pick. I don't love Brandon Cooks either. I mean, there's a couple spots here actually I don't like, but Edelman's a injury risk that I don't like, but I do love that he's got James White essentially backing up Edelman here and functioning as James White goes from a nice flex running back with Edelman playing to beast mode White when Edelman gets hurt, as he probably will.
Yeah, that's a great analysis. Everything you said there is spot on. So percentage chance of making the playoffs.
I'm going to give, I've got some concerns here. I've got concerns about the tight end position. I've got concerns about the quarterback position. I've got concerns about the running back position in some ways, although not as high.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance here, but I'm going to give him about a 40% as the team is structured right now.
All right. Good job. I kind of tend to agree with you. Let me just punch it into the algorithm real quick. Okay, it punches out to about a 46.2% chance of making the playoffs. Now, remember, this algorithm has never been wrong before. Ever. Ever.
You know what the beauty is of giving something odds of happening? No matter what happens, it's within the realm of possibilities.
Correct.
That you've given.
All right. Well, what a review. Great draft. This league is always one of my favorites. We always do it last, and it's a great bunch of people that we're working with, and I look forward to competing with them. Look forward to seeing everyone in the Slack chat. If you have any questions, you can always hit me up at Alan Sezlowski or in the chat room itself.
When are you changing that at to something else?
You don't like my name?
I can't spell it.
All right.
If it didn't pop up when I start writing it, there's no way I would get it right. I always think there's a Z.
Because you know what it is? There is a Z in my nickname, Season Long Says. Like, I've always been, you know, Seslowski. Even at school, the kids, they call me Sez. Coach Sez.
I can't spell it. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's my name. I wear it proud. But good draft. Overall, I give the draft an A+. Great drafters. Really skilled guys. I enjoy competing with them. And I hope you enjoyed the review. And good luck to everybody. And we will see you real soon.
Guys, good luck this season. If anybody still has drafting to do, a few days left. I mean, we're on Tuesday here. Thursday is the kickoff. So,
Oh, you just reminded me. We are going. I don't know if we can get any of your members to do this, but we're going to do a do-over draft. A do-over draft is, I think we're going to start it in week 2 or 3. It's going to be a 10-team league, and we're going to draft starting in after week 2. And it's just amazing how what the ADPs are doing. It's going to be just, you know, $25 entry, something like that. I'm putting it together now, where we, after week 2 is over, we do the draft, and then we play out the rest of the season.
That sounds like a great thing to throw into the DFS Army season-long NFL
absolutely
coaching channel, and you'll quickly get, you know, a crew that will be super excited.
Can you imagine that kind of thing? What the ADPs are going to look like after 2 weeks alone?
I would imagine that they're going to be drastically or dramatically different.
Totally different from
that always happens. Every time I've ever gone back and reviewed drafts from years past, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Oh my gosh. And it's like, how different
if you're interested in that draft, yeah, just hit me up on Twitter or hit me up in the chat room. All right. Later, everyone. Peace and love.
Take care, guys.